Last week, I told those of you who were here about an old friend and former housemate of mine who I'm going to continue to call Steve. Again, not because that's his name, but for my own reasons, it entertains me to call him Steve. Steve and I were having lunch and catching up, and Steve was shocked and appalled to learn that I didn't think of him as a Christian. I'd known Steve for around 5 years at this point, including a year where he, I, and a few other people shared a house. And on this day, this 5 years into our friendship, was the first time that I had ever seen him do anything or heard him speak anything about his faith. I said more about this last week, and I don't want to repeat that list because I don't want it to sound like a boast. The point was just that the subject had come up. He had had opportunities. And last week, I may have indirectly or maybe directly called him a cultural Christian. Someone who was baptized maybe as an infant, maybe as a youth, who attended church at least semi-regularly through high school and as a young adult went when he visited his parents, say over Christmas. I think that Steve, like many, possibly but hopefully not most people who would call themselves Christian in this country, considered himself Christian in the sense that he was happy enough to occasionally use the vocabulary of the gospel, so long as it did not in any discernible way intrude on the way he lived his life. I'm being careful right now to avoid making eye contact with anyone here. I don't want someone to think I am leveling a specific accusation. But I do think that there are a great many people in churches, maybe not this one, but in churches who each week after they leave do everything in their power to make sure that faith and the church stay confined to their Sunday morning boundaries. And if they truly pray for anything, it is that God will cause their income or retirement account to increase enough to cover whatever they might have put in the plate. I'm really not talking about anyone here. I'm not talking about anyone down at St. Luke's. I do think Steve might be even an extreme example. But I don't think he's alone, because over the last 30 to 50 years, the dominant expression of faith, of Christianity in this country, is one that has become focused exclusively on a personal, individual relationship with Jesus, to the exclusion of a relationship with all of God's other children. I'm sorry, I need to back up a little bit. I'm sure that most, if not all of you here, have at least heard of the Reformation, of the period 500-ish years ago when the Roman Catholic Church in Europe, the sole church in Europe, shattered into a number of different sects led by a variety of theologians, though the ones we might talk about most often would be Martin Luther and John Calvin. Part of why that happened is that the Roman Catholic Church had taken verses like the one that concluded today's epistle reading, today's lesson from James, "So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead," and in a great oversimplification, had taken that and created something like a point system for salvation. If any of you have ever watched the NBC comedy The Good Place, I recommend it. But they talk about such a point system in that show. And of course, at least for the German Catholic Church, one of the ways that people could get points was by giving money, a lot of money. This resulted in the extraordinarily wealthy people believing that they could do whatever they wanted, and so long as they gave enough money to the church, they would be saved. They could buy their way into heaven. This left others, including Martin Luther himself, frustrated. Luther, for example, took a very serious view on sin. Luther was acutely aware of his own human and moral failings. And this led him to feel that even as a priest and professor of theology, he would never be able to do enough. He would never be able to get enough points to assure his own salvation. This motivated Luther and other reformers to argue for a different soteriology, a different theology of salvation, one based purely on God's grace and in the saving work of Christ through his life, death, and resurrection. One that borrowed a phrase from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast." In the intervening centuries between Luther and now, many Christians have taken that idea too far. If Luther and the other reformers were reacting against a system that left some people with the belief that their salvation was assured through their ability to make significant donations to the church, and others to feel that their salvation was beyond their reach, how would they react now to a system that leaves some, like Steve, convinced that they only have to have been baptized and say that they have accepted Jesus in their heart, and leaves others feeling like failures because they, on occasion, admit to having a doubt or two? The dominant churches in this country, at least, have come full circle and are back to preaching a faith that is dependent on the money you can donate, on saying the right things, on thinking, or at least pretending to think the right things, all while doing next to nothing to help those who lack food or shelter. James' letter to the early Christian community might well have been directly addressed to the contemporary church of this country today. Hear his question, "My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing fine clothes and say, 'Have a seat here, please,' while to the one who is poor you say, 'Stand there at the back,' or 'Sit on the floor at my feet,' have you not made distinctions among yourself and become judges with evil thoughts?" James' goal is not to create a point system. He's not trying to create a system that lets people boast in having higher scores than others. He's asking a different question. He's not asking, "Have you been saved?" but, "Why were you saved?" James is not asking, "Do you have faith?" James is asking, "What does your faith call you to do?" We cannot understand faith as a purely individual relationship between us and God that disregards all of God's other children. That does not understand that God is calling us into relationship with not just God, but the wider world around us. As James says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, eat your fill,' and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? What is the point of a faith that leaves us focused exclusively on the future of our own souls while we fail to see or perhaps actively ignore the direct needs of others around us? Is it reasonable to call this a faith when God consistently has shown a preference for the poor, calls for comfort to the afflicted, for fair treatment for the poor, the widow, the orphan, the stranger, and the outcast? Is it faith if that faith causes us no discomfort, presents us with no challenge, and directs our feet nowhere we did not already want to go? James answers, sure, we can call that faith, but it is a dead faith. And God has called us to more than that. God has called us to life, not for ourselves, not for the people who look, think, act, or speak like us, but for all of God's creation. We have set up on the table behind me the sacrament of communion. We will celebrate it in a few minutes. And this sacrament, this communion that we will celebrate, is itself a mark of our participation in the life, not just of our own community, but of all of Christianity. It is a feast and a sacrament we share with the global faith. Because God does not call us into a relationship with God alone, but God calls us into the family with all of God's children. For that, thanks be to God.